Welcome to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett getting ready for answers from Albie as the Terriers get ready to finish out semester one against the Northeastern Huskies on Saturday night at Parker Rink. Coach, offense was open for business once again after the drought last week. Good to see it jump in a little bit, and particularly to jump in early with Trevor Zegras getting one in the first minute and a half.
Yeah, it was nice to get some goals. That's where confidence grows, especially for the forwards. Thought we shot the puck more. You know, we shot the puck better. We had a little bit more willingness to shoot it. And, you know, Harper, you know, really good forecheck, hunted the guy down, stole a puck off a really good D. Rathbone's a pretty highly skilled and skating defenseman, but he got a stick on it, and Z didn't make a mistake on it. So he put it in the net, and that kind of got us going.
Mention about the message, you know, hitters in a slump in baseball, you start to press. It's the same with players offensively. You squeeze the stick a little too tight. Was that the message, just don't be afraid to shoot it, and, you know, percentages will be with us if we just try to get pucks to the net and simplify?
Yeah, especially on the power play. We wanted to make sure we shot the puck more, and we needed more traffic. You know, we didn't have a ton of traffic on Cornell's goalie, and we didn't score a goal. We had plenty of chances. But we just didn't have enough traffic. We didn't get enough pucks down there or bodies there, and, you know, that was kind of the message of the week. And, you know, to be a good team and to score goals, you know, a lot of the pucks are lying around the blue paint. We scored some nice ones the other night, but we had one off Master Simone's butt, you know, because he was at the net. And he shot and off his butt and went in. So it'd be nice to get some greasy ones, some rebound ones, but you got to spend some time there and you got to shoot it.
After the way the first, I was thinking about that, crossed my mind the other night, the way the first semester's gone, was good to get one like that, because it seems like there's been a lot that have gone the other way if you start to break down the first semester.
Yeah, no, it's, if you spend time there, you'll get, you know, it's not luck. You know, if you, everyone says puck luck. If you're in around the net and you shoot it, you know, you do a good job of, you know, putting yourself in a chance to maybe get a tip or a rebound or a screen or one off your leg or your shin. But if you're not there, that, you know, you don't have that opportunity. And other teams have, you know, had some rebound goals and whatnot, and maybe a little bit of puck luck at times, but, you know, a lot of it's, you know, you create your own, and hopefully we can create our own tomorrow night.
Mention about the Mastro Simone goal. That was, it seemed to be absolutely critical with the team and confidence being a little fragile to bounce back after giving up the shorthanded goal.
Yeah, we could have given them three shorthanded goals. Tuck made a couple of huge saves. You know, we've got four forwards out there and David Ferentz, and David is, you know, pretty offensive minded, so we just got to be a little bit smarter at the blue line. One, we had a block shot and they went the other way, which happens, but Harps and Z, whoever's down, they got to recognize and make sure we have two guys back there, especially versus teams who can skate and are looking to score all the time like Harvard. We're excited with the way that went. We're excited that we did score that goal. But we're just happy to be playing another game. We feel like we put two good games together. We had two pretty good games versus Vermont. We had a tough ending at the end. We had a brutal game versus Sacred Heart. So we've played some decent hockey. Getting a little bit more healthy. Even the guys who were in the lineup are feeling a little bit better. We had a couple guys who were dinged up. So yeah, we're excited to play a crosstown team in our league.
Nice to see you take advantage of some of those situations offensively. It seemed like the back door was open at times, and Curry, it was nice to see Curry cash in on that one. And then Crotty, opportunistic to be able to get a loose puck and get rid of it quick.
Yeah, the goal by Curry was a beautiful play by Ferentz. You know, he froze the goalie and slid one, and Kurz, we were yelling from the bench to someone be at the net, but I guess he was in the right spot because maybe you don't know what we're talking about. But he kind of shot it from an off angle, and, you know, he buried it. So it was a high-level play. And Crotty did a good job. You know, when we the puck's in the corner, we want our D to close down and try to shorten the ice. And he did that, and then Army comes up with the puck. He slides a little bit, and he makes a nice play out to him, and, you know, he got a puck through. I think their own guy screened him, so. And we appreciate the screen, and we were glad that it went in the net.
Doesn't have to be one of your bodies in front of that. It might be one of their bodies, and it might be the same result.
Yeah, traffic is traffic, so we'll take the goals how you get them. And it was just good hard work. It was good hard work, and we made a play, and Corrado made a good read and a shot. So it was a huge, huge goal.
Talk about the play of Sam Tucker and how important it was. None bigger. If there was a save of the first semester, we'll see what happens Saturday night. That pad save when he flashed the pad was that was about as good as it gets for goaltending play. That was highlight reel material.
On the 6-on-5, yeah, that was it was a seam. It was similar to Curry's goal, you know. And Tuck is, you know, their goalie's a little small. Garnett is he's not the longest. He doesn't have the longest legs, and Tuck's pretty long and athletic. And it was a huge save. It was a game changer, because if they go 4-3 with a little bit of time, then we're pressing, we're on our heels, and he made that save and we scored a empty netter, and then that was the game. So it was a, you know, he made a lot of win saves in the game. Like he didn't have to make 20 of them, but he had to make 5 or 6 really good ones when we needed them, and he did it. So it was great to see.
And just the way that you managed it, it bodes well as you look ahead to be involved in close games, which inevitably they are in Hockey East. Just the way you weathered that last 4.5 minutes.
Yeah, no, we've had the lead before, and you know we did a good job. Obviously, you don't want to take a penalty. You know, you don't want to take a and we hurt ourselves when we played Northern Michigan. We're going to have to learn that lesson. You know, we took a stupid penalty versus Northern in the third. They scored a goal. We took a stupid penalty. The guy's got his back turned, and you know, you're talking about pushing their hips into the boards, and we cross-checked them on the letters. So it's just you don't want to put yourself in a spot, and we're doing a better job of managing the game. We're not quite there yet, but we're doing a better job, and that was a, I guess, a negative of it, and the positive was we closed it out, and Tuck made a big save.
And big sigh of relief. You could almost see kind of the air coming out when Patrick Harper was able to find the empty net from a long way away.
I think everyone in the building was excited, including him. It looked like he was posting up like a basketball game. He curled and then turned around. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was looking for the goal. So I don't mind a guy taking a shot. You know, sometimes you just want to get it out, but you can end a game with a shot, and percentage-wise, it's not the worst play.
And you can live with the fact that you held a Harvard team that likes to play up-tempo. They like to transition, their speed, their skill. Just 19 even-strength shots in the game, pretty impressive number.
Yeah, it was. And I thought we controlled the middle of the ice pretty well. We did a good job with our gaps, with our D. And we, they're dangerous. Like, watching them skate up the ice. And they zipped in behind us one time. Because our safety valve with our D was not paying attention. They're dangerous. And some of the games that they've played this year, they've been outshot, but they've had really good goaltending, and opportunistic as you read about. You know, they've got a lot of guys from the dots down that can really, really score. So for Tuck to make some of those saves, that's probably how they've won some games this year. But, you know, he made some key ones, and it was nice. I thought we played overall a pretty solid game.
Yeah, they weren't shy about jumping. You mentioned about a couple opportunities they had a man down before they got the goal. I mean, there was jailbreaks going on, a man down. It didn't bother them.
Yeah, no, it looked like a game of shinny on the PK for them. Like, it was, we were playing shinny, and they were capitalizing on that, and they weren't afraid to jump their D or 2D. And they did a good job. They saw a window of opportunity, and they tried to take it, and they obviously got one. So if it wasn't for Tuck, they would have got more, and that would have really changed the game.
First semester winding down, and I know you want to try to get guys fresh, because it's going to be a long time off here. Obviously, you're going to have the exhibition game in 3 weeks. But overall, decisions that you have here at the end of the first semester, I'm sure you want to get guys in, keep them in, try to get them fresh, because it's going to be a long, long layoff.
Yeah, we made a little bit of adjustment to the lineup last game, and then we might make a little bit one tomorrow. See what someone else can do. You know, I think it. It's the time of the year where guys got to play a little bit, and guys that come back from injury that maybe haven't played a lot, you know, see what they can do and give them a game and kind of go from there. And hopefully, you know, we have a good effort tomorrow night. So.
And looking at the Northeastern, they're coming in from a big tournament win across the pond there in Belfast. They were able to finish off with a win against Colgate after shedding out UNH. They've won 5 in a row. A little bit of a different team, obviously, with some of their losses from a year ago in goal, etc. But overall, they seem to be playing solid hockey. What have you learned as far as studying, getting ready, where it's just one game this weekend to concentrate on?
Well, they've got good goaltending. The grad transfer from Merrimack is really, you know, he was really good for Merrimack last year, and sometimes he was left a little bit hung out to dry. I think Northeastern's got a little bit different decor, really mobile. They got good size. All the guys have good puck skills, and they play really good team defense. They block a lot of shots. They're underrated. Everyone thinks they're a really offensive team, but they don't get credit for the defense that they play, especially how hard they are to get a puck down and get it through. They get layered shot blocking, and they get a lot of transition off of it. So we're going to have to make sure we handle the puck at the blue line and get pucks down to the net to try to get some goals, because it's a hard thing to do, and we had some struggles with it last year at times. They've got one of the best forwards in the country in Madden, and he's got a good complement around him. They've got some seniors. As much as they get some freshmen, they get a pretty veteran group. They lost a lot of guys last year, but they still get a pretty good core of older guys who've been around and played a lot of games. So they're gonna be tough. They're good in the power play. They've got some difference makers, and they play well as a team. And they're always looking to push the pace and play offense. But they play smart. They don't beat themselves. They put themselves in. They're always above the puck. They don't overextend on things, and we're going to have to earn it.
Now, you mentioned that about Pantano, and it seems like you've had the progression of free agent goaltenders here. You know, the guys that you've faced recently in Pantano, it's almost like going from the Orioles to the Red Sox, a little bit different run support with him. Don't let the numbers fool you from last year. He's a pretty good goaltender. Great numbers the year before. Better support.
Yeah, no, he's a highly talented goalie. You know, I think we got to him a little bit here last year, but from watching video and watching him over this year from pre-scout and obviously looking at his numbers, he's north of 930, so he's obviously making the saves that he needs to. So we're gonna have to hopefully get some traffic and fight through the shot blocking and play a good game, play a hard game, and continue to shoot the puck and try to get our bodies and sticks to the net.
And Albie, it'll be the last time that we talk for Inside BU Hockey for a while. As we wrap up here, you got one game to end the semester. Despite everything that's happened with the injuries right from the get-go, you lose one of your key top six forwards with Ty Amonte and all the rest of it. A huge game. You can finish overall. You can get right dead even to 500 with a win here. I'm sure that's not lost on you, or as you talk to the guys, that despite everything, you can get to that point.
Yeah, I know that's... I haven't really looked at the record. We're just worried about trying to get better and win games. And we said when we had the injuries with, you know, obviously Ty and Logan went down in the second game, and DeBoer and Stevens and Crotto was out for six games, and Harper. And so we've had a lot of different lineups, but it's given a lot of guys experience. And I think the young D have grown, come a long way from Maine. You know, when we were playing a little bit of pond hockey with the puck. I think the freshman D have all really grown in the first half, and hopefully they can continue to do it. And it'd be two huge points, you know, in league standings. Any which way you cut it, especially for a team that's ahead of you in the standings. So it's a big swing game in that regard. We just want to have a good effort, end on a good note, and give ourselves the best opportunity to win. And at the end of it all, the record will all sort itself out. It'll be nice to get Logan back in the second half. We've got a little bit of Calvary coming, so we're not excited for the break, but we're excited to play a game.
Traffic in front of the net is one thing. Traffic going south on the way back to Duxbury on a Friday is another. So we're going to let you go. And since this is the last Inside BU Hockey here until after the first year, just want to wish you a politically incorrect Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Bernie. I appreciate it.
Coach Albie O'Connell, our answers from Albie here this week on Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett, pleased to be joined in our Terrier Profile by Boston University Junior. Is it possible? We're just talking about that. Junior defenseman, now one of the alternate captains for the Terriers from the blue line out of Greeley, Ontario, Cam Crotty. Cam, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
It does go by fast, doesn't it? Here you are ending the first semester of your junior year, and you're probably thinking, gee, it seems like just yesterday I arrived here at Gannis Way.
Oh, my God. We talk about it all the time, me and my roommates. It's crazy that I'm a junior. Like you said, I feel like it was like a freshman, like a couple months ago or something like that. Sophomore year flew by, and here I are halfway through my junior year. It's crazy. It's been a lot of fun, but it goes by quick, that's for sure.
Like they say, you know, don't ever ask if you're in college, hey, what time is it? Because it's the time of your life. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah, for sure.
Indeed. And, of course, with the fact that you're now an upperclassman comes greater responsibility. You get the letter on the sweater this year. What's that been like, particularly to mentor a really large group of newcomers with freshmen and a couple of grad transfers that are not new to college hockey but new to the program?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun challenge. You know, it's all about just kind of remembering what it was like when you were a freshman, and we were just talking about how quick it goes by. And but I do remember when I was a freshman and kind of the stuff that the leaders when I was a little younger did that helped me out. And it's just about bringing everybody together. Like you said, we've got a ton of first-year guys, whether it be the grad transfers or the freshmen, and it's all about coming together. I think as a team, we're doing that now a little bit down the stretch. And that's basically what our job is as captains. You know, everything else is kind of not as important as just making sure the team comes together and all that, yeah.
And bringing it right to your position on the blue line, you've got really a contrast there where you do have the luxury of a veteran presence with three juniors and then really bringing in a number of freshmen, but three freshmen. And you guys seem to have complemented each other recently playing with Dominic Fensori. What about that experience for you and being able to pair up with him?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of good freshman D. Like you said, some good older guys for sure. But, I mean, Dahmer's one of the best skaters I've ever seen. The way he transitions the puck and the way he moves out there is unbelievable. I think all the freshmen D are have really impressed me so far. You know, Mac and Vlas are right up there. Really, I think that this D core, the thing that sets us apart is really like our skating ability and the way we move. Especially with our size, it's been pretty cool to play with everybody, and you know, I think everybody can complement each other, like you said, and that's one of the strengths of our team is definitely our decor.
You mentioned about Fensori right from the drop of the puck out at Union. His skating ability takes him a lot of different places. It must be a little bit of an adventure to play with him sometimes. Where is he?
Yeah.
Where is he, and is he coming back anytime soon?
Yeah, he flies around out there. He's similar to Dave like that, but no, they're still responsible. And even though they can fly and buzz around the ice, they're always in the right spots.
Skating ability, you can get away with that.
Absolutely, you can. Yeah.
Thank goodness for that. Yeah. Indeed. And just bringing it down here to the end of the semester, you had a big offensive night the other night. Opportunistic, just to take us through a big goal that you got. You had a goal and assist, but that was a huge goal, particularly with the struggles the Terriers have had offensively, the fact that you were able to get a little distance in that game and create a little space with the score.
Yeah, no, it's always nice to be able to score. I think it was just a good shift. The puck ended up getting chipped out of our zone. I kept the puck in at the red, just chipped it in hard. Our forwards went to work and really created the opportunity. I just kind of sat there between the blue line and the top of the circle, and then I think it was Jamie who just popped it out to me. I spotted it for myself and just ripped it towards the net, and it ended up going off the goalie's I think the inside of his blocker and in the net. So I was pretty fired up, though. It's really fun to score goals, and you know, it wasn't what I was really looking to do. I was just trying to play a hard, solid game, and but I ended up getting rewarded for it, which was really nice.
And most importantly, you've had 6 points the first semester, but the plus seven, you've been up among the leaders and consistent with your game, and that's a really overriding factor with you, your game, and the expectations of your game to be very sound, very responsible on that end.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a good stat. You know, it doesn't always tell the whole story, but usually, you know, plus minus is a good indicator, and I'm happy that I've been able to be on the plus side. And I know in previous years the team has struggled with minus, being minus and having more goals scored against us than four, but I think that's just an indication of like when the team's really going, a lot of guys can be on the plus side, and going forward for the rest of the year, we want to try and get everybody there. Just that'll help us win games.
Working with a new netminder, not new to college hockey, but Sam Tucker's been the regular. What's it been like as far as playing in front of him, communication, et cetera, from the D to the all-important goalie position?
Tux has been unreal. You know, he's one of the nicest guys, but he's always focused. I think that's one of the things that I've seen from him and been the most impressed with is just his focus. You know, he's never too high, never too low, whatever the situation is. But he's always positive when he's talking to people, regardless of what the score is, what's happening in the game. You know what you're going to get from him. And in the locker room, he's unbelievable. You know, an older guy. He's got a little bit more experience, but he does a really good job getting along with everybody and making everybody feel welcome. And you know, you'd look at him and see that he's a first-year guy, but if you were in the locker room, you'd think he was here for 3 or 4 years for sure. He's just he's a real bright spot for us.
Looking back at the summer, the last couple of summers, you drafted by the Coyotes. Have you had the experience of the development camp? I believe you have.
Yeah, I have. The past couple of years, I have, yep.
How's that gone for you?
It's been good. It's always cool to be able to participate at you know, camps at the next level. I've had really good relations with Arizona thus far, and you know, it's still super cool that they were interested in me and ended up drafting me a couple of years ago. I guess now the goal is just to have the best time I can here at BU, and then hopefully be able to make the jump there and help out that team in the future.
And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the season, as we say, the season and the reason. You've done very well academically here in your pursuits. What has captured your interest academically? I just know that you've been an all-academic selection.
Yeah, no. I mean, school's always been important to me. I guess that's my parents raising that in me, I guess. But I'm in the business school. That's been my focus. I got core coming up, which is going to be interesting. But business is, I think, probably the best of both worlds for me. I find it interesting, and it's also really, really versatile but useful degree to have. And you know, I think there's no cons to getting a business degree, and then being able to play hockey here and doing that at the same time is pretty remarkable.
Well, that's why you do get the best of a number of different worlds there, Cam.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Looking at the weekend here, it's one and then done for the semester, as it is for the Terriers' opportunity to play crosstown rivals from Northeastern. That's a pretty big rivalry, maybe a little underestimated because of BU-BC, but the proximity and success Northeastern and BU have had the last few years. Your thoughts getting ready for that challenge? It'll be the dogfight, the Terriers and the Huskies.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, they've had our number at least while I've been here. Last year, the Hockey East, they ended up knocking us out, and the year before in the Beanpot. I mean, they're a really good team. We always have good battles against them. I know for myself, I'm a little pissed off, and I'm going to be going in there and showing that and bringing that energy. And you know, we're not accepting anything other than a win against these guys. You know, it is a rivalry just as much as it is with any Boston school, but I think for us, especially the guys who have been here the past couple of years and have experienced the tough nights that these guys have given us, we're going to be coming out hard and trying to give a little bit of that back to them.
Best of luck accomplishing that and finishing the first semester strong, and best of the holiday season to you and your family. You'll probably be going back to Ontario?
Yeah, I'm excited to get back for a couple of days for sure.
Well, enjoy that after a big W. Thanks, Cam.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Cam Karate, our Terrier profile here this week on Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to have with us, providing the view from the other bench this week, view from on high, if you will, the longtime voice, I can say that as a longtime voice, the longtime voice of the Northeastern Huskies, our good friend, my good friend, Rob Rudnick. Rob, always a pleasure to have an opportunity to talk hockey or any other subject with you.
Bernie, thanks so much. It's always great to talk with you and have been able to share the microphone on these Hockey East games for more years than we're going to mention.
No, that's right. Not without our attorneys present. There you go. And well, you know, the Huskies, you've been around, and we're not going to mention the number of years, but Northeastern hockey, a number of different coaches, and there has been ups and downs over the course of the decades that you've been involved. But truly, when you think back to what Jim Madigan, Jerry Keefe, this coaching staff has accomplished in recent years, it has been, pun intended, some banner years here for the Huskies. Of course, last year, really scaling to unprecedented heights with the winningest season in Northeastern hockey history, and not one but two championships.
And I think Jim Madigan might be under 100 wins away now from the great Fernie Flamin, Northeastern's a terrific coach. A 256, I want to say, was his number of wins. And you're right, Bernie, this has been great times for Northeastern. They've recruited some wonderful players, and they coach them well. And We're seeing skill level here that, you know, we haven't seen through the years, with the exception of the occasional real good player from time to time. But to have Adam Gaudette, a Hobey Baker winner for Northeastern's first, that was quite an accomplishment.
Overall, 10-4-2 and a very respectable 6-3-1 start in Hockey East. Most recently, this team took it across the Atlantic and captured the Belpont tournament in impressive fashion, shutting out UNH in a league game 4-0, and then able to hang on against Colgate in a 4-3 victory. But a five-game, I know you've had a chance to see them right from the beginning of the year. Currently, this will be a Northeastern team coming to Parker Rink, certainly on a high with five straight wins.
Yeah, they used this trip, this is their second trip to Ireland. They used it in 2015 as a springboard. They went over there with one win, and they ended up winning Hockey East that year and getting to the NCAAs. And, coaches love to take players on the road. They love the fact that they're away with the team and they can work with them and they've got hockey, but they also got over there, got involved with some cultural things and academic things with kids and, tourism and whatnot, and, of course, the hockey. So, they're going to try to use that as a springboard again for a continued success, and they've been playing great. They have a little five-game win streak here, and I think this weekend's game, tomorrow's game, sets up as an exciting one. I came over and watched you guys play Harvard the other night, and I thought you guys were really stepping on the accelerator, if you will.
Yeah, the Terriers broke the drought that they experienced last week in losses to Sacred Heart, and then down in the Big Apple at Red Hawk Hockey, an impressive win against another Beanpot rival from Harvard. Northeast, the five-game winning streak began, I guess there was a little soul-searching after a tough loss down at Providence, Rob, and since then it's been on the upswing.
Yeah, I agree. That was not a good game on the Friday night down at Schneider, and then they came back and turned things around and really finally, I think, got it, what the coaches are trying to drill into them, all the plays and the skill and the level and the intensity and the things you have to do, and they are buying into it now. You know, these teams we see now are so young. I think Northeastern may have 8 freshmen playing tomorrow. You might have had 9 in your lineup you the other night. And there's so many young players that we've got to be patient with them, working their way into these systems and learning how to play with the older veterans. And for Northeastern, it's really come around lately.
Major question for the Huskies coming in was at the goaltending position, as it was for the Terriers. The Terriers lost Jake Ottinger early, Caden Primo departed early, and Greg Pantano. It's almost like free agency now in college hockey with these grad transfer goalies. You've got Michael Lackey at Providence, you've got Sam Tucker at Boston University, and of course you've got Craig Pantano at Northeastern. Your thoughts on Pantano and how he's performed so far?
Well, here's my best story. When I met him at first, I said to Craig, you have to tell me how to pronounce your name. Is it Pantano or Pantano? Because I hear it both ways. And he said, well, my mom says Pantano and my dad says Pantano. So there you go. So we've been going with the mom's version, but as you call him, Pantano, and many do as well. He's a wonderful young man. We had heard great things about him. He's, you know, he plays goal with what my former broadcast partner Bill Daugherty used to call economy of movement. He's very sure. He gets his angles right. He moves post to post well. And he's going to have to tomorrow because you've got that down low off wing one time, you know, slap shot thing going on your power play and sometimes in other occasions. And he's going to have to be really on tomorrow. But he has been spectacular and a big reason. He got his first shutout of the year. And, this grad student thing is kind of a new phenomenon, isn't it, in college hockey?
Yeah.
You know, Lackey faced Northeastern earlier, and then your Yale transfer, Tucker, tomorrow, I guess.
Yep, it'll be Sam Tucker, who was at Yale. And offensively, not surprisingly, Tyler Madden is at the top of the score sheet. And despite the youth of the Huskies, Rob, you're getting what you have to get to be a successful team, and that's guys taking the next step, freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior, junior to senior, and it seems like there's a number of guys that have taken those steps in their development to give the Huskies the solid start that they've had.
Yeah, Tyler Madden showed flashes of it last year. You know, his dad was an NHLer, had won Stanley Cups in Jersey, and a real good player. He is an extremely skilled young man, and you've got to stick around for the celebration after the goal because that's almost as exciting as the goal itself. And I think he has 12 goals now, which is kind of a big number. And he's been good. And Ryan Shea, the captain, has been doing a good job back there on defense and actually adding a little offense lately. Madden is the player of the month, I believe, in Hockey East. He just got announced. And Ryan Shea, I think, the player of the week. So Northeastern has those two leaders amongst the others.
And working in some of the defensemen, you've had the opportunity, the luxury of being able to work some of the freshman defensemen in with veterans. The case in point, Shea has been paired with Kesselring, et cetera. That always helps the transition that guys have at that all-important position.
Yeah, Northeastern does not have a lot of senior leadership on defense other than Ryan Shea. Jordan Harris certainly doesn't play like a sophomore. He's a wonderful defenseman, but they have Kesselring and Jaden Struble, and then a couple of guys have been injured, Kislin and Bushler, and they're young players as well. So it is a young defensive core, and and you guys also have some kids back there. In fact, do you have a senior defenseman playing tomorrow?
No, we've got the three juniors. It's been pretty much some combination of three juniors and three freshmen and a sophomore, if we go with the seven, or four freshmen and three juniors.
And the power play for Northeastern has been coming around as well, Bernie. I think they started 1-for-19, maybe 4-for-33, and now they're at 18%. And their penalty kill has been terrific also. Mike McLaughlin, who was promoted to assistant coach, who played and captained at Northeastern, and who, connection with your Terriers, has, I believe, a sports psychology degree from Boston University. And he's done a real good job. This penalty kill has been over 90%, and that helps. Special teams are very important.
Give us a couple of freshmen that particularly caught your eye, Rob. There's an array of them, but a couple of guys that have been particularly impactful, just even on or off the score sheet, but just the fact that you've seen a number of games this year.
Sure. Aiden McDonough comes to mind. He'll wear number 25 from Milton. Tall kid, good size, good hands. Was injured a little bit in the off season. Didn't really get to the camp and missed a couple games to start the season. But they put him right on the first power play, and that tells you what the coaches think of him. He is exciting. And you mentioned Mike Kesselring from New Hampshire. He's also a tall defenseman who has a lot of skill. It always amazes me. He's not as tall as Adeno Chara, but these big guys that have that agility and flexibility and balance, who can play defense with skill, and they can also move the puck, and they can create things in the offensive zone. It makes them a dual threat, and I think those are two freshmen that you may catch your eye tomorrow.
And what you described, that usually translates into guys that are going to be cashing large paychecks maybe for a decade or so.
Maybe.
That's right, if they continue on. And excitement for tomorrow night. I mean, everybody, you come to Boston University, and if you're a student or, you know, everybody, Boston University, Boston College, I would say the rivalry, it's a different type of rivalry, but it's a rivalry that I think has been ratcheted up exponentially, particularly in recent years with the BU and Northeastern. It's really, we've seen, you and I have had the privilege of being able to see some really compelling hockey with these two teams getting together.
Well, I think lately, Bernie, Northeastern's been a little more competitive. You know, they've done better against Boston University since that, was it 2017, the playoffs. Since then, Northeastern has played BU to close games. They've won games and big games. And so now, you know, maybe it's a little more even rivalry, and that makes it exciting for both. And hopefully there'll be some people come tomorrow night. You had some students the other night. The band, of course, is always one of the better bands around at Gannis, so we're hopefully going to have a good crowd and a good show for everyone.
We're certainly hopeful of that. It'll be the final game of the semester for the Terriers. They'll have a long break after tomorrow, hoping to go in on a positive note, and I'm sure the Huskies will have something to say about that. We look for a good one tomorrow. And Rob, we thank you for coming on, and once again, for being our guest here on Inside BU Hockey, and best of the holiday season to you, my friend.
Bernie, thanks so much. Happy holidays to you, everybody over at Boston University, and all of your listeners. It's been great to chat with you for a little bit, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. Rob Rudnick, voice of the Northeastern Huskies, our guest, providing the view
from the other bench, the view from on high, if you will, is the voice of the Huskies here on Inside BU Hockey.